look at the verse where it says, God led us with his eye. Remember that? And his eyes are directly linked to his heart. What kind of eyes? God's eye that lead us is linked to his heart, and what kind of heart he has towards us. So if you would like to look, listen to that, you just go to the link that he sent in the chat group. This evening, we're going to continue along the same theme. Let's look at it's a reflection on this psalm. I know maybe most of you have read this psalm before, but this is a very deep psalm that talks about our God. Who is our God? You know, many times do we ponder, do we think about who our God is? In this world, right, in this modern world, the general philosophy is, you live your own life, you are the master of your own destiny, you pursue your own life. This world, if no one will help you, God will only help those who help themselves, right? We hear all these kind of principles. But are they true when we examine this kind of understanding in the light of scriptures? We would see that actually the world does not know there is a God that is described in Psalms chapter 139. Let us look at 139 verses 1 to 6. If you have a Bible with you, can you read with me? Psalm 139 from verse 1 to verse 6. Whatever version, whatever language, you can read in Korean, you can read in other languages. 1, 2, 3. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Verse 5. For you have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain. The author of this psalm is obviously King David. Okay, King David wrote this psalm, and it is a psalm that he meditated upon God. Who is this God? He says this God is one who has searched us and know us. Now this is the other way. It's not we want to know God. This is God knowing you, God knowing me. You know, with the advent of technology, now every smart city, you have CCTV everywhere. Right? Whatever you do, people will take the photo. You cannot steal people. Whatever you steal from the motorcycle, I think Penang, they have done that. Now they have implemented a lot of CCTVs. They have tried to make it a smart city. So with all the CCTV, whatever you do, any offense, the police doesn't catch. But if in the city council, they look at the video, they can catch you. Is it good or bad?
Not so good. Everything is monitored.
Monitor you, right? They invade your privacy. They look at everything in your life, whatever you do. Your car now also have a video camera. Is it good or bad? Good also. Now the car, inside the car has video camera. Can take so many videos. That's how you see all the accidents, right? The day the accident on the bridge, otherwise you wouldn't know how it happened because of the video. Correct, right? There is a God who sees everything. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me. In a modern language, maybe you would say, O Lord, you have Googled me. If you want to find out a friend, maybe Benji, you go to a work and look at a friend. Oh, what's her name? Or her name is, maybe it's a girl. Or a boy. You have a boy or a girl? Friend. This is a friend.
Just a friend.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Okay. Let's say you met a friend in the office, or in the place he works. The boy. Named Alan Lim Akau. Why are you loud? Alan Lim Akau, immediately you Google Alan Lim Akau. You find out all about Alan Lim Akau. Nowadays, whoever publicize their public profile in Facebook, Ellen Markel is a Christian, he goes to church, right? I see he posts Facebook posts about the church and all that. Very dangerous when you put your profile on the internet, people search for you. But God search us not in an intrusive way. That do not mean to invade our privacy, but in these verses, from verse 1 to verse 6, we are told of a God who is attentive to the fullness. He knows everything about us. And I want to point out to you, there are three times the word know there. Verse 1, you have searched me and know me. Verse 2, you know what? My sitting down and my rising up. Verse 4, there is not a word from my tongue, but behold, you know it all together. Three times the word know there is a Hebrew word, yada, Y-A-D-A. The word know in Hebrew, there are many Hebrew language, Hebrew words for know. Yada is the most deepest and intimate one. It talks about when Adam knew Eve, Adam, yada, Eve, he bore her, she bore him a son. She bore him Cain and Abel. So knew then is yada. Yada is the deepest word for knowing. It talks about intimate knowing, right? Intimate knowing. Husband knowing what is the most intimate level, the deepest way to know. But on the other hand, it is not just intimate knowing. A husband and a wife knowing also speaks about covenant knowing. God knows you, God knows me, because of his covenant he has for you and me. Wow. He yadas you because he has made a covenant that he will love you, you will be his children, he will be your God. Covenant is one that he initiated. Covenant is more than an agreement. Covenant is, I commit myself to do this. If anybody breaks the covenant, you'll be in danger of the consequence of breaking the covenant. So when God knows me, when David thought about God knowing him, he said he can see this covenant-keeping God continues to know David. Do you like God to know you? And David used four words to describe this knowing. Yada, use bin, use zara, use sakan. But that's not important. Look at all the verses there. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. That's the yada, right? Verse 2, you know my sitting down, my raising up. No, the intimate knowing, you know. Then the second word they use there is, you understand. It's not good enough, I know you. I understand you. Wow. God knows you. God understands you. Verse 3, God comprehend. God discern. Do you see verse 3? You discern my path. God discern. Verse 4, verse 3, we continue. You comprehend, you discern my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You are familiar with all my ways. God is familiar, intimately familiar with your ways. Oh, I know Wendy what he likes. I know your favorite fruit. God knows, God understands, God perceives. God is familiar. Maybe we always think, he knows everything. But here David gives it in a very deep way to tell us God intimately knows us. God perceives, God discerns us. Amen. That is our God. Amen. Hallelujah. He yada us. He perceives, he discerns, he intimately knows me. Verse 5, you have hatched me. In your New International Version, you have hemmed me. God is in front and at the back like God has hemmed me. Do you know what is hemmed? Not H-A-M, H-E-M. You have hedged me. God has guarded you in front and behind. I remember there was one time my wife and myself many, many years ago, you know, I have a friend who brought us, say, oh, this is his friend, right? This lady has a prophetic gift, why not you ask her to pray? I said, fine. So she prayed for us and she said, wow, she mentioned something very interesting. She said, I've prayed for so many people, but I see something very interesting about you and your wife. She said, you know, all your life is full of things guarding you, fence. That is a good thing. In our lives, sometimes we feel, why I cannot go this way? Other people can go this way. Hey, why other people can do this thing? I cannot do this thing. When God hand you, it is a good thing. Why? It is a protection. When I turn back my life, I see, thank God, I was not asked to do that. Thank God, I was not included in that program. Thank God, I didn't join this, I didn't join that. If I join this, I join that, today, my name is Smelly. But because God foresaw, God hates you, hem you in front and behind. So in your life, sometimes you feel, why my life is very limited, I cannot do other things. It is God's goodness. Never think that, why the other Christian can do, I cannot do. Why other people can do this, I cannot do. Can go here, can go there, I cannot. You'll be questioning why. Sometimes you want, but God is the one who stopped. Wow, it's God protecting you and me. We cannot see that far. God said, no. So one day after I walk through, I see, oh, thank you, Jesus. Correct or not? If not, your reputation is at stake. You would have fallen into unnecessary hurt, unnecessary pain. God, you know, I've asked for breakthrough. The breakthrough is right in front of me. God say no. God hand me. Do you see that? And God, when David talked about it, he talked about it in an endearing manner. He loves God. He knew in his life God has hand him all this while. Do you see that? So never envy other people. Oh yeah, he can do so many things. He always got blessed. No, everyone has their own life. Amen. God has his ways with everyone. Amen. Amen. So this hedging us in, this hemming us in, is something of God's protection. Looking back, I really thank God. Many things didn't happen in my life because of God's goodness. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, again, you look at verse 4. Before my word comes out, you already know. Have you ever had that experience? Before my word comes out, already know. I remember when I say something, a few weeks ago, I just say a word out of nowhere. My wife can continue. See, this happens, right? Husband and wife. Because you know your wife, you know your husband so well. You say something, you just can continue. Even out of context, you know. Now, let's say you talk about John and James, suddenly your wife talk or your husband talk about Ruth. You also can, you also know. Why? Because there's this intimate knowing, same as God. God said, even David said, before I open my mouth, God knows everything in my mind, in my thought, before I say it out. Amen?
Amen?
That is our God. And he said here, his hand is upon me. It is an intimate involvement. So from verse 1 to verse 6, David tells about a God who is intimately involved in our lives, intimately know us, intimately discern us, leading us, guiding us along the way. Do you see that? In verse 1 to verse 6, David always points to God. You search me. You know me. You know my sitting. You understand me. You comprehend me. So in our relationship with God, we must be able to see the you aspect. Cannot be always the me. Amen?
Amen.
We pray for many things, right? God give me me. Lord, you don't know me. I like that. I feel like that. I want this. wow, David teach us something. He started the psalm by, he's a you. God, you know me, you search me, you understand me, you are acquainted with me, you comprehend me. Amen. And the next thing he used is the feature he used in poetry writing. It's called merism. That means he compared front and back, sitting and standing, lying down and going out to show us the fullness of God's knowing. Do you see that? You know my sitting down, my rising up. Hello? Brothers and sisters, when you're sitting down, God knows you. No? Later when you stand up, God knows you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 7 to verse 12, now he switched, he talked about himself. Verse 7 to verse 12. Let's look at verse 7 to verse 12. 139, verse 7 to verse 12. 1, 2, go. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Do you have that, Benji? Okay, verse 7 to verse 12. Now he focuses on him. He talks about himself. Isn't it very scary when he talks about himself? Huh? A person who has gone through a very sad time, a very low moment in his life, will understand what David is saying. When sometimes you are so sad, when you do not know what to do, you want to be like David. I just want to fly away, far, far, far away. Nobody can see me, nobody knows me. Have you ever had that thought?
Yes.
Everybody has that, right? If I just can, I'll just hide, or I can bury under the sand, nobody can see me. David said, if I go to hell, you are still there. That means he hide himself in the darkest place, you are there. If I fly to heaven, you are there. If you go to the sea, last time David already watched Aquaman. Really, you see? He said that, right? Or is it in another part? I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. See? He was David was the first Aquaman. He went to the furthest. Heaven, hell, sea. Number one, this talks about the omnipresence of God. Omnipresence. God is everywhere. So this is both literal and metaphor. Literal as in, yes, God's presence can be in heaven, can be in hell, can be in sea. There's nowhere you can hide. And metaphor, it means sometimes when you are so sad, you just want to run away as far as you can. But David's experience is, no matter where you run, no matter where you and I hide, God is there.
Amen.
You and I, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes you feel, am I alone? Am I going through this alone? We will be tempted to think, I'm alone going through this. Nobody can understand my pain. Nobody understands my loneliness. But when God gives you the revelation and says, I was there with you all the time. All the time. That really changed your perspective. That will change your heart. Adam and Eve. Last week we talked about Adam and Eve. When they first fell, they wanted to hide. Right? We say God's eye will guide us. So when Adam and Eve hide, when they hid behind the tree, they were hiding from God's eyes. They rejected the eyes of God. They don't want the guidance of God anymore. Correct, right? The tree. But that's all we do always. Do you see how silly it is? Adam and Eve hide behind the tree as if God will never find them. Do you have that experience? Do you see parents like playing with kids, hide and seek? Where are you? All the children running, right? When you are, when your children are small, I go and hide. I cannot see you. Where are you? Then the children very happy. Right? They just hide in front of you.
Where are you?
Yes, father and children, right? Parents and children, right? That's Adam and Eve, like, hide behind the tree. We thought that we can block the eyes of God, but God has a way to find us. Many times, I still remember when I was young, I went through ups and downs in my emotions. I felt rejection. I felt all kinds of emotion. Every time, God was there. God can still find me. Amen. I remember in a church, you know, sometimes you get hurt in a church. Can you imagine of all the places, the most hurt you get is from the church. I do not know about you. Most church, you know, the most hurt. When I was young, you serve God. I served in a young youth ministry and all that. Then you see the leaders practicing favoritism. Wow, I cannot take it up. So everybody worship. I go to the back. I hide myself in a dark corner. Hopefully no one will see me. Just actually, I was very stupid. I thought I'm very big. Of course, like, nobody see me. Of course, nobody will look for me. We thought that we are very important. If I can hide, if nobody find me, find out, they will come and look for me, maybe. Of course, until the service over, nobody will ever bother. That's our mind thinking that we are very big. Right? No one finds me, but God found me. Amen. Those rejection, those emotions, those feelings of rejection, I remember clearly when I had an encounter with the fire of God. When God's fire came, I was delivered from rejection. It's real. God found me. I had these rejection issues in my younger days, even though I was the only son. I remember when I went to church, there was the fire of God came down. Then at night time, we had a cell group, and the pastor prayed. He didn't know anything. So he just prayed, and suddenly the same fire that fell on me in the morning service fell on me in that meeting. But he had enough prophetic sense to know this is the fire of God. And he said, God is delivering you from rejection. My mother was arguing there. How can he be rejected? He's my only kid. He's my only son. We love him so much. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows, but God found me. I was delivered from rejection. I felt the fire of God for 30 days. So it was something that marked me during that time. I think I was about 18, 19 years old. For 30 days, every time I go to the church, God's fire came upon me. It's not something great. It's to wash me. It's to cleanse me of the so many impurities, of the rejection, all the things in the world. Amen? So Adam and Eve tried to hide, but God found them. Amen? So you and I can understand when David said, I want to run away. But there is always a God who will look out for us. Let's continue verse 13 to 16. If you have the Bible, can you read with me? Verses 13 to 16, 1, 2, go. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You read it? Do you have it? Amen. Are you following me? Do you still have life inside you? Smile so that you don't fall asleep. When you smile, more oxygen goes in. Hallelujah. You form my inward parts. Inward parts in the Bible, Old Testament, is the seat of our emotions. The deepest seat of emotion, your gut. your gut feeling. That is your inward part. That's why David always prayed, you desire truth in the inward part. Inward part is your seat of emotion. The very place where all your emotion comes from, that was formed by God. You covered me in my mother's womb. My daughter is not here, you know. That day I just saw that day she was learning about biology. In a baby, what covers a baby? In a baby? A child in the womb, what covers the baby? Placenta, right? Placenta, right? Now people use that to do facial or whatever, is it? Is it? I think so. But when I read here, I'm surprised. You covered me in my mother's womb. The doctors think it is placenta, but it is the hand of God that covered us in the womb. Amen. Do you see that or not? Biology tells you placenta covers the embryo, the zygote, the baby in the womb. But here David tells us something even scientists have not found out. It is more than the placenta. It is the hand of God covering us, protecting us in our mother's womb. Amen? Hallelujah. And whatever shape, whatever face, whatever hair we turn out to be. Look at me. Hello, everyone. Whatever you turn out to be today. Hello, can you look at me? However you turn out to be today. Look at me. According to David, we are all fearfully and wonderfully
made.
You must accept yourselves. You must see yourself. I am the best designed by God.
Amen.
I am the best designed. If you struggle with that, remember this verse. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is what we call divine design. There is no other fingerprint that shares the same like yours. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we forget about our worth, our value in the eyes of God. God has never ever created rubbish. From day one to day seven, God has never created rubbish. Do you see what I mean? Meaning, no one is a rubbish. This one doesn't just talk about us. When you see other people, don't see rubbish as well. Correct? No? Sometimes we see ourselves rubbish. Here, David tells us, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am beautiful in God's eyes. It is the most beautiful divine design God has ever created. Amen. And then at the same time, you look at other people, don't see rubbish. If you are fearfully, wonderfully made, what about them? They are rubbishly made. Are they rubbishly made? But sometimes that's how we treat other people. Correct or not? You are not so rich, you are not so whatever, so you are rubbish. I tend to do that, right? Sometimes we think, I am that person who sweep the whatever, do some lousy job, we treat them like rubbish. Hey, wrong or? Wrong, I feel it's wrong or? If God creates everyone fearfully and wonderfully, in every mother's womb, God's hand was the placenta. How dare we go and treat anyone else as rubbish? Amen. Can you look at me, everyone? Do I look like rubbish? If you think I look like rubbish, change your perception today. Amen. Look to the left to your right. Do you see rubbish? Look to the left to your right. Do you see rubbish or not? Don't be shy. Some people dare not see other people. Later you see me, I look like rubbish. No. Amen? And there's a beautiful secret here. Look on. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. You look at that some of the time. You know, God saw us even before we were formed. And look on. In your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Hello? I like this one. One day we'll talk about it more. We talk about how Jeremiah how other prophets, God gave them a book to eat, remember? Do you remember that? I forgot it. No, they eat the book, remember? Everybody, maybe. Your face, never mind, lah, just assume yes. We have shared before how impartation, or when we eat the food, in a spiritual sense, eating is for impartation. Remember that? Yeah. Every one of us has a book. Every one of us has a scroll. Every church has a scroll. Every nation has a scroll. What does that tell you? Every nation has a destiny. Every church, every family, every individual has a destiny. David tells us, before our life goes, we have to live our life. Like what Brother Joseph asked us as well, the spiritual deja vu. Because there is a book written about your life, there is a book written about my life. In the end times, you and I must learn to access and open this book. Our destiny is in the scroll, is in the book. The destiny of end times are in the scroll. There are secrets Daniel saw. God say, you don't write down. But the end times, it will be revealed. Then in the Revelation, you see John crying. He saw the scroll, but the seal cannot be opened. He cried. Then they asked him, who is worthy to open the scroll? Remember that? There is a destiny in the end times. There are secrets of end times yet to be revealed. There are secrets in your life. Most people die without fulfilling their destiny. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, when he had an encounter, when he has become a very successful preacher, he's only fulfilled like less than half or one third of his destiny. He got shocked. The angel appeared to him. Most of us, some people live until they become pastors for many years, but never fulfill even half of their destiny because the book has never been opened. One day we will go through a journey in the Bible of all these scrolls, these books. What are the principles that cause these books to be opened? Do you want to know? Nobody does know. I don't know. I'm one who loves to know. I want to know my scroll. I want to see my scroll. I want to eat my scroll. Every one of you has a scroll. A country has a scroll. Malaysia has a destiny. It's written in a book, in a scroll. You think it's been fulfilled? It's not fulfilled yet. Korea has a scroll. I remember in a revival in Argentina, when they prayed until the breakthrough came, they said the Lion of Judah has prevailed. The scroll was opened. There was a breakthrough. The destiny was fulfilled. God came down. Millions were swept. Sorry, I can't say millions. Maybe thousands, hundreds of thousands were swept into the kingdom of God. And in the end times, there is also a harvest. Each of us has a part to play to usher in the millions into the kingdom of God and to fulfill our destiny. This is what David said. There is a book that was written, the days of my life, which I have not stepped into it yet. This is biblical, okay? When Jesus came to earth, he went to the synagogue. He said, give me, the person gave him the scroll. He read, Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. Remember that one? And he closed it. This is fulfilled before your hearing today. He fulfilled his book. The book, his destiny, part of Jesus' destiny, most of Jesus' destiny is written in the Bible. It's a book. He read it. It's fulfilled. You can read it and you can fulfill it. Amen. Hallelujah. So these verses tell us about divine design. You and I are wonderfully, fearfully made. Number two, divine destiny. God knows us deeply. God has written a whole destiny for your life. Like Brother Albert believed. He has another part of his life. He has not stepped into it yet. He has gone through many experiences. He has many successful experiences in his life. But I told him a few weeks ago that God has a destiny. And he knows there's another part. And I hear his testimony is very interesting. They are different, you know. how he had a dream about an angel, and he became a Christian, you know. Angel coming, small angel, tell him about Christmas nativity, right? Screaming nativity. And he became a Christian. Then when it's time to know more about God's word, he heard a word. And he went to Bible school. He's more qualified than me, you know. He's a master of divinity. He's the master of divinity. So at different stages of your life, God will lead you. That's just to open up different pages of the scroll. And he obeys. You see, when he has an encounter, he obeys, he walks into it. Next, he has an encounter, he walks into it. Who would do that? Suddenly, a voice comes here and say, you must learn the word of God. He enroll himself to study Master of Divinity. Would you do that? I want to do that. Will you spend that time? Will you spend that money? He did it. He's ready for the next one. Amen. Sorry, I borrow your sorry a bit. Must pay, no need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 17 and 18. How precious. Let's continue on. This is also another very powerful spiritual principle. Read with me verse 17 and 18. I know it's 10. We'll stop soon. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. Wow. What do you see? Image, right? Do you remember eyes? You can see in the eyes of with the eyes of the Spirit. Do you remember Abraham when he sees the sand, when he sees the stars, he sees all the faces of his descendant? Alright? Next time you go to the beach, you look at the sand. All the sand is God's thought for you. Wow. Cannot imagine it. All of you like. That's what he said. That's what David said. If I can count all the sand, there will be more number in the sand. That's the thoughts God think about you. Maybe now we all don't think about it anymore. When you are younger, when your boyfriend, girlfriend think about you, do you know what I mean? Now cannot think already. Now don't know. Now don't know what it means for people to think about you. You see, you think about your boyfriend. You think about your girlfriend. Think. Now don't think anymore. See? Okay, I bring back the thinking. Think. There is a God who thinks about you. Okay, relax. If no one thinks about you, there is a God who thinks about you more than the number of sand. Very sad, no? After we become a certain age, no? People think about you. So? God's thoughts about you. David said, if I add all the thoughts together, more than the number of sand in the beach. More than the number of sand. Not in the beach, no? That is God's thoughts for you, know. He thinks about you. And you still worry. Tomorrow, don't know what will happen. You still think, you know. But God's thoughts for you and me, more than the same. And we worry, not enough money. What will happen next? My children, my grandchildren, this one, my dog, my cat, all this. God thoughts about us. Hallelujah. Do you like to have dreams? Do you like to have dreams? Spiritual dream? Do you like to have God's presence with you when you sleep?
Yes.
David tells us a secret. I'm so happy. Verse 18. When I awake, I am still in your presence. I'm still with you. This is a blessing, you know, to wake up in the presence of God. Do you see that? How does that happen? Verse 17. How does that happen? Verse 17. He was meditating about God's thoughts for him. Do you catch it? If at night, maybe I hear my friend last time say, at night they play the what? I don't know, I've never Candy Crush. So when he sleeps, he dream Candy Crush. All the Candy Crush come down in the dream. David tells us before he sleeps, he thinks about God's thoughts for him, and he says, "Wow, so many are your thoughts for me." Then he fell asleep. You know, the saliva out of his mouth. Tomorrow when he woke up, he felt God's presence. He woke up in his presence. When I awake, I am still with him. So in other words, this is kind of a guaranteed way to have a spiritual dream, to wake up in God's presence. Before you sleep, think about God's thoughts for you. Hallelujah. What do you think before you sleep?
So sleepy.
So sleepy. Never have no dream, right? Very sleepy, very hard to have a dream, right?
Yeah.
Try don't be too tired. Okay? David meditated upon the revelation of God's thoughts for him in the night, and he awoke with the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. Verse 19 and 22. We'll end now. Read with me, 19 to 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Come on, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Suddenly these two verses are like, don't fit into this psalm. After he talks about God, thinks about me, God is so good, God, if I run away, God will still find me, God created me, I have a destiny. Then suddenly, he talks about wanting to kill the enemy. Huh? Not right, cannot flow, right? Suddenly you want to kill the wicked one. It's very practical. If you love God, you will hate what he hates. This is very important in the end times. Now there are many teachings that will tell you, never mind, it's okay, God loves one. Yeah? Nothing wrong one. Jesus will never judge. Jesus will not do any bad thing. Jesus is always love, 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 love. If you hear this kind of teaching in wherever you go, can I help you? My advice is please run out. There is now increasingly a teaching. Jesus will not judge. You don't have to repent. Repent one time enough already. Jesus will not judge one. They focus. Look at this. You look at all the things Jesus do. All positive one. Good one. Not true, okay? You look at Revelation. The letters to the churches. Jesus always said to the angel, repent. That's Revelation. New Testament. If any teaching tells you, no, don't worry, do whatever you want, God loves you, it's okay one, enjoy. Please, run out. Okay? Because David tells us, when he understands God's thoughts for him, he understands the heart of God. He understands the heart of God. It is not something that is nasty, destructive. Okay? It's a judgment with redemption. God's heart is not out to kill, to destroy. What, even in judgment, he still loves. Amen? So after he has considered all these things, he knew. He was a smart guy. The only way to partner with God, his response to God is, even though God searches him, even though God knows him, even though he cannot hide from God, everybody knows this. Correct now. You tell every Christian knows this. I also know God loves me and all that. People will say, this stuff everybody knows. Look at the last verse. There was a personal response from David. Even though he knows, that is why he is a man after God's heart. He will personally respond. He will make a point that he will say, God, you search me, you know me. Now, I open my heart. Wow, it's a proactive divine, is a partnership with the divine. God, search me. Let's read together verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Now I tell you, God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. When you do that, you will be in a special company. You'll be like David, you'll be like Job, you'll be like Peter. What do I mean? Because you open everything to God. God will open up everything for you. Amen? And like Job and like Peter, before the enemy can do anything in your life, the enemy must ask for God's permission. You see that? Peter, enemy has to go to Jesus. I want to take him. I want to save him. Remember that one last week we saw? No? Peter saw Jesus' eyes, remember? Many days before that, Jesus already prophesied to Peter. Right? Devil wants to save you, but I pray that you will not fall. Devil had to come to ask for permission. Job also the same thing. The devil come to God. Say, I want to test Job. God must say yes, only that will happen. I want to make it very clear. Some things in our lives are because of our sin, because of our pride. But if we live a life like David, like Peter, like Job, walk in God's path, we open our hearts to God. God, you know me. If there's something wrong with me, please tell me, please deal with it. That kind of a life, the enemy must seek God's permission before he touches you. But all other Christians, the enemy can touch you. Why? Through open doors. Through the sin in your lives, through the pride in your lives, through many things in your life, through the hurt, through the pain in your life, the enemy can touch you. Can you see that? There's a difference. But for Peter, for Job, for David, because they have learned to open up their heart. I know, God, you know me. Yes, you search me. But God, now I happily, voluntarily, I open my heart to you. I want this God. I want. Come and know me. Come and try me. And then he says, lead me. Not just today. I want it to be forever. Lead me until I die. No, did he say that? Lead me in the way everlasting. This is the way I'm going to live until I step into eternity. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this evening, for the word of God, that we look at the Bible, we learn your words and your truth and your principles in your word. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. Your word carries the intent of your heart, my God. We don't want to just listen to words, to read printed words, oh God. We want to know the heart, your heart, Lord, when these words were written. We want to feel what David felt when he meditated upon all these things. When he wrote these Psalms, what was his feeling? Make this real in our hearts, Lord, we pray. Make this real in our hearts, Lord. We need you. We want to ask you to come and search us. Search our hearts. We open our hearts. There's nothing that can be hidden from you. But we take a step to say, Lord, come and search me. Come and search me. We're just going to sing before we end. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Hallelujah. your heart this evening.
Hallelujah. Ask God to search your heart, open your heart to Him. Thank you.
Your embrace, and let go. God do a supernatural transaction. Let God do a supernatural impartation. There's nothing that you need to do to earn His love. There's nothing that you and I need to do. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Lift your hands up. Father, the one who has created each one of us, your hands which are upon each one of us, O God, you who know deeply everything inside us, you who know our thoughts, our emotions, the things that go through our mind, the things that go through our hearts, we humbly come before you. We want to receive your embrace this evening. We want to receive your embrace this evening. We come with our, we open our hearts and we say, search us. Search us. Come with your love. You do not come to scold or to be angry or to condemn. Thank you, Lord. Right now, lift your hands. Right now, come Holy Spirit. Do whatever you can do. Shed abroad the love of the Father right now. In Jesus' name. Right now.